can people train themselves to be positive as opposed to negative?
Yes. And that's one of the tricks. If you know your brain can sabotage you, and there's a little organ in there called the amygdala, and not very many people know about it. It's no bigger than an almond. And this is the organ that we have in our brain that mediates fear. In other words, we're walking down a jungle trail, and out comes a tiger, boom, you know, we feel fear. And this was great, again, during caveman times when there was a lot of things to be fearful about. And still good today, you got to have some sense of fear. And then there's another little organ right next to it called the stria terminalis, and this mediates anxiety. And the difference between fear and anxiety is fear is when you walk down the trail and the tiger comes out, and anxiety is when you think about doing it again. You know, you're not there, but you're thinking about it. And in today's world, these things can create false alarms. You know, all of a sudden we could be phobic about going outside, or phobic about crossing a street, or phobic about getting in an airplane, or phobic about public speaking, or being among people, and so forth. And these are what the psychologists in the field call false alarms. So we have to know they also try to get you down on this dominant scale. In other words, you challenge the next person up to you, you're defeated in the game or what have you, and it sort of wants to make you retreat. And so this is a natural thing. So the only way you can defeat it, in my opinion, is with positive thinking. And there's some people in the field who say, well, if you're in the middle of a situation that's bad for you and you're feeling down and you feel this. And what actually and what mediates this is the I remember asking a neuroscientist from the University of Toronto, Jordan Peterson. I said, "Well, what is it that does this?" And he says, "It's serotonin." I said, "Well, it can't be as simple as that." And he said, "That's basically it." And then I found three or four more references to it. So what happens when we lose is our serotonin goes down. If we lose bad, you know, it goes real far down, and we can become depressed. When we win, the serotonin rises, and we feel good. So if you can sort of mediate that yourself by this positive thought, you put on your refrigerator five positive things, almost ritualistic, that you think about to get these two organs back in line again.
And it's important for everyone to understand we're human beings. We're going to have bad days. Right. That's normal. We're going to have events happen in our lives that are tragic. I mean, you just can't get away from it.
No way.
But I think the secret of the people who are positive as opposed to the people who are negative is that the positive people will pull themselves up quicker, faster than the people who have this negativity.
Yes. And there's also a field of study on extroversion and introversion. And, you know, I saw a psychologist from Harvard. And he showed a series of videos. It was the most interesting thing. Showed two kids, starting at the age of like 6 or 8 months. One was an introvert and one was an extrovert. I don't know how they found them to begin with, but he taped them up until the age of 22. And it turned out that they never really changed much from that, despite the intervention by parents. And one of the things parents are supposed to do is be able to see where their kids are, because every kid is different. Genetics are all different in every child. And try to intervene as best you can. But at the age of 22, one was still basically an introvert, one was basically an extrovert, but the introvert turned into a physicist. You know, he got a PhD and so forth and was happy. So these are natural characteristics that we have to either use or try to embellish in some way.
When I was 6 years old, my parents, God love them, they're still alive, would encourage me to get up in front of a group, family gatherings, sing, to tell little jokes. I'm 6 years old.
Right.
And, you know, but you know what? I got to the point where I said, I really enjoy this.
Yeah.
I like this. And, you know, I started doing more of it. I went into some semi-professional plays and shows, and I ultimately went into broadcasting.
Wow.
I think that had a lot to do with me doing what I'm doing today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're lucky to have parents like that.
Your parents can form you, I think, without any shadow of a doubt.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's a certain propensity we have. And there's a study going on. I don't know if you've heard of it. The University of Minnesota of identical twins reared apart. And this study, and there's one being done in Sweden as well, you know, they've studied like 3,000 pairs at the age of 20 or 30. They haven't seen each other. And they've concluded from this that about 50% of all mental characteristics are inherited. In other words, from the moment we're born, we have these characteristics. Now, if they're very strong, extremely strong, then the culture, the conditioning we have as children is less effective than if they're not quite as strong, if you get what I mean.
Well, here's an example. Let's say a kid is the child of a baseball player or the child of a football player. Mm-hmm. Chances are, you know, he's going to end up being a football player or a right. baseball player. We've seen this happen time and time again.
Right.
Is it because of the genetics, or did that father teach his kid at a real young age, you know, I'm going to teach my kid how to be a football player or a baseball player, or is it a combination of the both?
I think it's a combination. You know, in my book, in Chapter 3, I talk about what happens when you hit a tennis ball, what happens to the brain. I happen to see this in some brain book. And I compared it to the time I was on an airplane and was talking to a baseball scout. And I said I was doing this book, and I want to know, you know, a little bit about confidence, what he knew. And what he said is that in his lifetime, he was in the 60s, he said he must have seen, I don't know, thousands of players over the years. And he said there's certain things that can't be coached. You know, you can't coach eye-hand coordination. You can do a little bit with it. You know, if the kid is going to, it's like a golfer who takes 500 swings a day, every day. You know, some are going to get very much better, some will mm-hmm. get a little better, and some won't get much better at all. We don't know what's going to happen when we do this repetition, but you're not going to be in the game unless you try it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So and in terms of this amygdala, he put his finger on it. He said, "We really try hard. We try to look for a kid who's really got confidence, who's got the skills, and also has the confidence and the thought and can stay positive when he's getting beaten. You know, and that's what they look for."